Hello and welcome to The Bus Stop. This is the official podcast of National School Transportation Association. I am Kurt Mackeson, Executive Director. And with me today is Bree Allen, the Senior Director, Operational Improvement at National Express, and also Chair of the NSTA Governmental Relations Committee. So Bree, welcome to NSTA The Bus Stop.
Hi, Kurt. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Well, listen, our pleasure, and it's great to have you on the podcast. How we usually start these things, because this is, for me, one of the most interesting parts of doing the podcast, is to go through people's personal journey in student transportation. So I'd love to hear, you know, you give a brief introduction of, you know, what you do, of course, at National Express, but also a brief personal background, you know, on your journey in student transportation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've pretty much been in the school bus industry my entire life. My family owned and operated a school bus company in upstate New York, the Ulster County area. They had the company for my whole life. My grandfather actually started the company. My father worked with my grandfather. My mom worked with my dad. And I did not think I was going to be involved in the company, but I went to law school, was kind of trying to branch off and do something different outside of school busing. But I kind of got pulled into the company in 2004. So I ran Ethan Allen, which was the name of the company, from 2004 until 2013. At that point, we sold Ethan Allen to the Trans Group, which is another member of NSTA owned by John Corr. And I stayed on and worked with John Corr and Tim Flood from 2013 until 2019. I came on to National Express in the summer of 19 and was working with Bob Kenna's operational improvement team. And that is where I am now.
From a, you know, day-to-day standpoint, you know, what are you doing, you know, with National Express?
Yeah, so operational improvement has kind of given me exposure to a lot of different facets at National Express. When I first came onto the team, we were very focused on what we called the master schedule process. And it basically involved our team reviewing and identifying waste in our schedules and finding a way to create more efficient schedules. So that's something that we worked on for quite a bit. And we still do that review at the beginning of every summer and school year. We created more visibility around the timeline and outputs of our hiring practices, creating a pipeline tracker for all of our candidates. We draft SOPs for the company. So our team has drafted over 120 SOPs for National Express, including 43 SOPs specific to ByCurve. So ByCurve is also a member company of NSTA, and it's the new platform that we are rolling out to all of our operations. So our team is also in charge of the ByCurve implementation and launch process. So we have our fingers in a lot of different facets in the company, but we really focus on improving operational efficiencies.
Yeah, and that's fascinating. I'm sure over the time that you've had in student transportation, it's an area that keeps, you know, evolving because there's just technological improvements, you know, coming at us from left and right.
Absolutely. Things are so different now. Even for your basic dispatch log, used to just be a handwritten log on your desk every day, compiling who's in, who's out, what buses you're using, what buses you're not. And now everything from Zonar to dispatch to schedules to payroll is all integrated and alive in your laptop. And the drivers have so much more visibility as to what they're doing. We have so much more visibility to what our drivers and employees are doing. So it just keeps improving day by day.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, one of my favorite parts of doing the podcast, amongst the many favorite parts I have, is just kind of talking about, you know, these improvements and where folks have, you know, come from and where we might be going, you know, in the future. I'm going to pivot a little bit more toward NSTA now. And Bree, you served as Government Relations Committee Chair previously, then you had a brief hiatus, but now you've come back, you know, last July in Milwaukee, you once again took over as Government Relations Chair. Maybe talk about your previous experiences as GR Chair, and then I realize that you're only in the GRC for a few months, but have you seen any differences from the first time, to the second time in terms of, what the organization is dealing with?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So I was chair, I believe, from 2014 to January of 2019. I want to say that John Corr was my predecessor because I believe that he was the one that asked me to get involved in government relations when I first started working with the trans group. And that's actually how I came to know Karina Noble, our current president of NSTA and a colleague of mine at National Express. I met Karina and Bob Remsdahl and John Elliott Jr. all in their different roles in chairs positions for NSTA. And Karina and I worked as co-chairs on the Government Relations Committee. I think she joined me as a co-chair in 15 or 16. And we found that we worked very well together on the committee and just brought different perspectives into government relations. Yes, and I came back to the chair position in July of 2021 of this year under Karina's presidency. And it has changed a lot. Honestly, I worked with Government Relations for National Express during the pandemic and worked with Karina and Becky on the certs package and started my re-engagement back then sort of unofficially for NSTA as well as for National Express. And right now I'm seeing just this renewed energy in the committee, which is really great. We kind of used to struggle to get people to engage in the committee and to read all the documentation that gets sent out on a monthly basis and to contribute to the PAC. And that has drastically changed to what I'm seeing now in the relationships that people have in the committee and they're wanting to be involved in the Government Relations Committee. I think they saw the impact that we had during the pandemic. They saw and felt the impact with the certs piece that got passed. And now there's this new energy and life in the Government Relations Committee, which is great.
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. There's been a few victories that we've had along the way. One recent one, and I'd like to get your take on it, is the inclusion of the provisions of the Stop for School Buses Act, and that was within that mammoth Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. But Stop for School Buses Act was, a top legislative priority for NSTA for a while, and it was kind of good to see it get included in the IIJA. But that bill being so comprehensive, I think maybe some of that message has been a little bit lost, but it was a great victory for us nonetheless.
Yeah, it absolutely was a great victory for us. I mean, we have been talking about illegal passing on the Hill as far back as when I first stepped into the chair position, and probably even before that. I think before I was chair, I went with Tim Flood to a bussin' in on the Hill, and we talked about illegal passing. It is always a conversation that we are having with our legislators that we really need to be focusing around the bus versus on the bus. This is where we see issues occur for our students and for our drivers. We need to get people to pay more attention to our school buses on the road and to our children when they're loading and unloading off the bus. This should be our priority. So it is a huge win for us that this was included in this act. It's an important piece for our industry. And now I think it'll get the attention that it deserves. We really need to be looking at how we get motorists to pay more attention to interacting with the school bus on the road.
Yeah, no, great point, Bree. And as you know, we weighed in on the initially the CARES Act during the pandemic, but then you also mentioned the CERTS Act and CERTS program. I think one of the interesting things was, throughout this time period is the way NSTA was able to pivot from the way we used to do things in terms of lobbying to this kind of grassroots, kind of artificial turf grassroots lobbying effort, which was just as successful, being that nobody could visit legislators face-to-face. So we kind of had to adopt a new model, you know, with a lot of virtual activity. And I'm sure, for all of us, that's been a little bit of adjustment. But, you know, how do you see that, you know, transformation? Is this like going to be the new model, or is it an interim model of not being able to see legislators and doing a lot of things virtual? And does that take something away from the process? I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, I think in the future, it's going to be a bit of a hybrid model, because I think one thing that we all learned was we can do a lot virtually, but that doesn't discount the personal touch of actually going to the Hill and meeting with your legislators. So I found that during the pandemic, the reason we were so successful was because we had so much member engagement at that grassroots level. You know, Becky and her team from Pine Policy would reach out to us and ask us to send emails, send notes, make phone calls, and everybody really got engaged and involved and did that and performed those asks for her. And I believe truly that that is why we were so successful, because we were able to reach out to so many of our legislators. But I also think it's important that we do make member visits when we can and when it's appropriate. You know, I'm hoping that we can get a nice bus in together for this coming spring, and we can get a lot of members to go to DC with us. We need to thank the people that supported us, and we need to continue to engage with them on this issue. COVID and all of the issues surrounding this pandemic are not gone. We are still feeling the effects of it. Our industry still feels the effects of it. We're doing less work. We're getting less people to work for us and with us. And it's still a regular struggle for us and our operators on a regular basis. So we still need to have these conversations with our legislators. And I think a lot of it is going to be virtual. A lot of it is going to be these grassroots conversation and emails that are sending out. But I am hopeful that we can have some in-person contact with our legislators this spring, or whenever, you know, Prime Policy feels it's appropriate for us to travel to the Hill again.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. So true. And you did allude onto, you know, one thing in terms of your comment about less people working for us. And that's, you know, one common thread, and that's the driver shortage that we've seen. Now, this is the current priority for NSTA, and I guess updating and streamlining the CDL process, to kind of attract new drivers, is one of our, if not the top advocacy effort. You know, how do you, view this effort? Because in fact, Bree, when I go through the NSTA files, I see that, driver shortage was actually, talked about back in 1997. But we do know that the current situation with the pandemic has ratcheted up, the driver shortage issue more at this, at this period of time. But it is something that has been going on for a while. So it'd be great to hear your take on, the driver shortage and what we can do, with, FMCSA to kind of streamline the CDL process.
Yeah, I wish I had the answer to that, Kurt. I really do, because it is a struggle for all of us. But you are 100% correct. This issue of driver shortage predates the pandemic. You know, it is something that our industry has been facing for years. So I think it was just teeing us up to this large problem that we're facing right now. I think the fact that so many people left the industry during the pandemic and now don't want to come back because they've either found other work or they just don't want to work anymore, it is a large hurdle for us. What we can do, yes, I think we have to work with our regulators. We have to work with FMCSA. We have to find a way to streamline the process. But we also just need more support from the people that we work with in our communities, our school districts, our customers, our parents. Our school bus drivers do so much for us. They're such good people. We ask so much of them, but oftentimes they don't feel supported in their role. And a lot of that is conversations that we have to start having with our customers, schools, parents, about how to treat the people that are driving their children every day, and that they should be given respect They're providing an essential service to our communities, and they don't always get viewed in that capacity. And I think that that's hard for a lot of our drivers. We need to appreciate them more at multiple levels. So yes, I would love to see, you know, some kind of regulatory effort to make the process easier. But I would also like to see more community efforts to get more recognition to our drivers for the tasks that they're performing every day for us.
Yeah, so many great points there, you know, Bree. It's interesting, you know, serving on the American School Bus Council, you know, there was in 2017, I believe, a survey done. And in the essence of the survey was that the driver is so key to educational success for the student, and really, you know, alternatively, for increasing yellow bus ridership. So the long and short of it is, you have a great bus driver, that child is going to be more engaged, he or she, at the beginning of the school day, and parents are going to be more comfortable, you know, putting their child on a bus. So I think there's so many great points, you know, that you made in that, and it's kind of been borne out in, you know, in surveys that we've done as well.
Yeah, I think we need to do a better job of letting the communities know again. You and I both know the safest way for a child to go to and from school is on the yellow bus. This is something we should be proud of. And it all boils down to what our drivers are doing day in and day out and following the policies and procedures to make sure that those kids are safe. So I think we need to probably do a better job on that messaging and making sure people understand just how safe they are on the yellow bus with us and what a great job our drivers do and making sure that they feel supported. But yes, we need to figure out creative solutions to this problem because I don't think it's going away. And I know a lot of our operators really are trying to work with their customers and trying to work with parents to make them understand we are doing the best we can. And we are still, safety is still first and foremost in our mind. So we need to make sure they get to school safe, and we will find creative ways to tier and route so that we can get everybody there on time.
Yeah. And once again, you bring up a lot of great points. And I also look at, you know, the messaging that, you know, the organization did during the driver shortage when media outlets were reaching out to us because school was starting and, you know, we were having challenges in the back to school, you know, time frame, you know, had the effect of us being able to deconstruct all it takes for, you know, operators to get that child to school each day, you know, safely. And I think that was a net benefit, you know, to school transportation that, you know, it wasn't just the bus pulling up, you know, at a bus stop and picking up a child. Now we kind of deconstructed a little bit and people got to walk in our shoes for, you know, a little bit of time and figure out that while we student transportation makes it look easy, it's not as easy as it looks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, another good point is that our drivers and our operators really went above and beyond during the pandemic to provide additional services to the communities. They were delivering food. They were providing internet hotspots. You know, we really thought out of the box to make sure that we could still provide a service to our communities, especially those communities that supported us during the pandemic, which was so helpful for our, you know, our operators to have certain customers say, you know what, we're going to make sure we're complying with our contracts. We're going to make sure we're paying you so that you can pay your drivers. And if you look around at our facilities that are doing well, most of them were the ones that they had that support during the pandemic and they were getting paid. You know, if they were paying us and we were paying our drivers, the drivers stuck around. The customers that didn't offer payment and we had to, you know, lay off our drivers, those are the ones that were struggling to get back.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And this has been overall such a great conversation. Sorry, the time is winding down. I did want to connect with you, Bree, on the upcoming midwinter meeting. You know, we are all looking forward to NSTA folks getting together at a live meeting in Key Largo, Florida, upcoming. Why don't you talk to the folks a little bit about, you know, the upcoming midwinter meeting and having both the GR committee meeting, which I think is great for folks who normally on the monthly call to kind of engage in a live meeting setting and see, you know, what the committee is all about, but also the prime policy report that we're having that Becky Weber, you know, normally presents at, you know, at our live meeting. So what are your thoughts on the midwinter meeting?
Yeah, I really hope that we can see a lot of people at the meeting. It's a rare chance for us all to get together and share ideas and brainstorm and listen to sessions in person and have a healthy Q&A with the people providing these presentations. I mean, we tend to have Jareel Becky in a little bit on the phone calls because she can talk for a long time, which is great. And you know, but when we have a live meeting, she really gets to go into the detail that sometimes she doesn't get to go into on the calls because obviously we have a time frame. But she has so much information, and Prime Policy always has so much great information for us. And she's always able to give us a good framework for where we're going and where we need to be. And you miss out on all those details when you can't join us in person. You know, we're still talking about a potential another COVID relief bill where we might get a CERTS refill. We're still talking about the tax exemption for the money that was already handed out under the original CERTS bill. And there's just a lot of great presentations that are going to be happening at the midwinter meeting. So we would love to have a great showing this year.
Yeah. And you know what? Your comments spurred this thought in my mind, too, is that government relations is essentially a system of building blocks. So the fact that, you know, we talk through a lot of these details on the call and we'll talk through a lot of details in Becky's presentation and at the live GR meeting, but it's not like you have to cram for the exam. Like, we're going to be talking about these issues, you know, moving forward. So somebody can start, because there's sometimes a fear factor with government relations with folks, right? So folks can start at any time. And the more you participate, the more those building blocks continue to make sense for you. At least that's the way I view it.
Yeah, and people definitely find that it can be a bit intimidating because there is so much information. But Becky is always willing to have conversations one-on-one with people, as well as myself, Karina. People can engage with us on any question. No question is too big or too small when it comes to the Government Relations Committee, and we're happy to provide you any details. So, you know, people should not be intimidated. There's plenty of reading information that's available on the NSTA website, as well as what we hand out pre and post meetings. So whatever you need to know, we will get you the answers to.
Great. Once again, our guest this week, Bree Allen. She is Senior Director, Operational Improvement at National Express. Bree also serves as the NSTA GR Committee Chair. Hey, Bree, thanks so much for joining us at NSTA The Bus Stop, and I wish you a very happy and healthy holiday season.
Thank you for having me, Kurt, and same to you.